Field and Company, live on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
All right, here we go. 4 o'clock hour. Actually, the final hour here on a Monday because we go 2 to 5 on Mondays and Thursdays. Cofield and Company, John Von Tobel is here. It's ESPN Reno, ESPN Las Vegas. Damon is here as well. I always forget to mention our names a lot.
I don't think so.
Which is a radio basic.
We're stars.
Well, I was told by one of the bosses here a couple months ago, you got to mention your name more.
Your name is the name of the show.
Pump yourself up more.
I mean, I feel like the company should probably get more pub.
Well, you're national, so.
It's very true.
Yeah, you don't need it. Everyone should know you already.
That's right.
JBT, which is often the mistake that people hear. Maybe I can't speak.
Sometimes I'll go by JV.
Yeah.
Somebody I've known for, I think, like 10 years the other day at a bar came up, JV, what's going on? I was like, okay, you were actually there.
Oh, I was?
It was Kenny White.
Oh, okay.
Kenny White calls me JV all the time.
Johnny Vaughn?
Yeah, there's that. I can go a lot of places. Van is a big one, too. Van.
You get some feedback on the Twitter machine from Ryan O'Derrick?
So Steve Cofield is absolutely right. My 19-year-old daughter with 2 years of fandom under her belt doesn't know all the degenerate rules of how to express excitement. Now all of a sudden, at me, JVT is sports etiquette guy. You know what, Derek? Yes, I am! Yes, I am! And your 19-year-old daughter is not representative of the massive sample size of students that go to Colorado and every other university. How about that?
A little mad dog-ish there? Was that too much?
Trying to think of an old-timey thing that I could say.
But then you're piping smoke, and it was right there.
Yeah, it was hanging out there. Good save. Very good save.
How you like them apples?
Exactly.
Not a good one.
All right, Big Four time.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
What's more annoying, the hype machine for Deion and Colorado football, where they barely win a game they're supposed to cover, 24 against CSU. Oh, no. Or this.
I can't.
Nah, George Reister had a good tweet about Shedeur Sanders moving up to be competitive for the number one pick in the draft. He deleted it.
Oh, he got shamed into deleting it? No,
I don't know. I don't know if he got shamed, but it's gone. But yeah, he said.
Oh,
that,
no, it's still there.
Oh, it is.
Maybe it just didn't load for
me. I pulled up the wrong link. Yeah. But he says, he's in competition for the number one pick. Would you?
No.
Are there offshore odds? Or are there legit?
Oh, there's odds. Yeah, there's legit odds. There's a number one pick. I'll give them to
really?
You right
okay,
now.
I want to hear this.
Yeah. Give me time. Pull it up.
Come on. Shedeur Sanders over Caleb Williams, over Drake May.
Let's see how the season plays out. When they go head-to-head, we'll see.
Well, the next 2 weeks are going to be really interesting. Oregon and USC.
All right. Odds via my employer, DraftKings, the number one overall pick. Caleb Williams minus 500, Drake May plus 550, Marvin Harrison Jr. at 15-1. I'm terrible at this name, so I'm going to skip it. 25-1. Kool-Aid McKinstry at 30-1. Quinn Ewers at 30-1. Joe Alt at 40-1. Dallas Turner at 40-1. I think you're sensing a theme here. Jared Verse at 40-1. KJ Jefferson at 40-1. Michael Hall Jr., Bo Nix, JJ McCarthy, Michael Penix, Spencer Rattler, Shedeur Sanders 60-1.
He should bet it.
Reister should.
Yeah.
Cause he
Wait, what was the name? Can you do it phonetically? What was the name?
Olumuiwa.
That's close enough.
Yeah.
Who's betting Sanders at 60-1?
I don't like to do that because that disrespects their name. So
that's a good point.
Yeah.
I'll put 20 on it. Sure, why not?
I'm not. He's not.
I'm not going to drive to Arizona to do this.
Yeah,
are there any books in town that have it?
No.
Why are you laughing like that?
Because that would take some innovation and actually, hanging up some cool stuff, and that doesn't happen.
Putting your neck on the line.
No, look, here's the thing. I don't know why we do this, and this isn't like a Shedeur Sanders thing. I think this is just a thing that we, the collective, do, which is when you have a sure thing, for some reason you want to find ways to poke holes in it. A month ago, I can't remember who it was, there was a prominent NFL draft analyst that put J.J. McCarthy ahead of Caleb Williams as the top quarterback prospect. You don't believe that. You don't think it's going to happen. And it's not going to happen.
I would buy that one more than Shedeur right now. Now, two weeks from now.
Why is that, Steve?
Because I think McCarthy is a better prospect than Shedeur Sanders.
Think he's more heady?
No. It's not about using freaking white qualifiers here.
Think he's grittier?
No. I wouldn't use any of those things, gutty, gritty. I mean, does he have those qualities, J.J. McCarthy? No, I actually think he's a pretty good athlete. He can get outside and run.
Sure.
He might actually be a better runner than Shador.
I think he might. Here's the thing. I think Caleb Williams is the best prospect, and there's no question about it.
I think there's going to be some questions about it. At least some people will force the issue. No, I think some people will force the issue. I think Drake May will be in competition. John, it happens every year.
But it happens.
It doesn't mean it's real, but it happens.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
We have these dumb conversations all the time. So we saw Will Levis at one point become the favorite to go first overall. And I'm sitting back and we're like, what are we doing? And at the end of the day, Bryce Young, before last season, up until his name was called, was the first overall pick. We don't need to do this. Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall selection. Caleb Williams is the best quarterback prospect.
Man, there wasn't a heavy favorite, so this is not a good example. I was going to say look back at the 2018 draft, but it really was very questionable about who would be the first quarterback taken.
Who was that? What draft class was that?
So it was Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
But my argument
is...
And
then eventually Josh Allen.
Yes.
Who was never discussed as a number one pick.
But that was never... None of those guys were ever considered to be the head and shoulders best prospect in their class. Much like Bryce Young was, much like Caleb Williams is.
Are you telling me 10 years ago you weren't thinking maybe RG3?
No.
Never thought it?
No, of course not. In comparison with Andrew Luck, it's the same thing. He was considered to be the best prospect.
Number three.
All Colorado, all the time. All right, so Travis Hunter, their best player, is out for 4 weeks. He got popped on what John is calling a bang-bang play.
Right.
Good heads-up football.
Don't do that.
DeMond thinks it was a very dirty play. So does Dick Sherman. Richard Sherman, who, boy, oh, boy, that these Monday shows with Skip are a freaking hoot. Dude. Now they got a four box up. And listen to Sherman as he tries to make the point. And they still haven't told Skip, because he used to do it with Shannon Sharp all the time, and I freaking hate it. You don't need to validate every 8 seconds by going,
That's not him, though.
He slips one in. But then Michael Irvin starts talking. I'm like, this is chaos.
But you had the comment by the anonymous DC last week, like, hey, we're going to take Travis Hunter out. We're going to run our receiver. Yeah, we're going to block him out. And then all of a sudden you get into a game where the ball hits the ground, you take him out after the play. Like, if it's a normal football play, everybody that steps between those lines understands.
We're right with that.
I'm taking this risk. I'm going out here. What I'm not all right with is, hey, ball hit the ground, whistle blown.
Right.
You taking a shot, and it sends the wrong message to the kids. It's like,
And then stand over like you done something within the legal game.
But it's like, hey, what you, by not suspending him, by not making an example out of him, you're saying, hey, y'all want to get a player, star player out of the game? As soon as the ball hit the ground, take your shot. It might be a 15-yard penalty, but you just lost your best player.
Yeah, that's always the way it's been. Yeah. And now we've actually gone too far the other way, where every freaking hit is then judged potentially as targeting.
Mm-hmm.
How about one time? Stop. One time the officials back off and they're like, hey, it happened. All right, it happened. I mean, this is ridiculous. And then, like I said, it's chaos. Everyone's talking over each other. He continues to reiterate the point, and then Skip closes it out with just something stupid.
And not only did you lose him for this game, this following game, you lost him for 4 weeks. And the kid has no punishment. And it makes me feel like they set a bounty out. They did something. They talked about this. That kid didn't go out there rolling.
It smelled like that to me. But, yeah.
Shut up. So stupid. It smelled like that to me.
You want to know what that is, though, from Skip? Did you, like, when you watch the actual video? And look, I don't watch the show.
You can't get a word in.
That's the thing. The whole thing, and I know we're on radio, Skip's just doing this, like, the whole time. And he's just kind of just sitting there, and, like, he's got to find a way to say something. So he's got to come in there with a, it smelled like that to me. What are we doing?
It's so dumb. It's not a bounty. Did they? I will guarantee
you don't know that.
Every game the rest of the way, well, when Hunter plays, but every game to this point, especially in the Nebraska game and this last game, the coaching staffs on the other side said, hey, get him if you can get him. That's football. That's not a bounty.
No,
hey, if you can freaking land a hard lick on him, then do it.
Nope. Much like Sean McVay knew the point spread, I think the boosters walked into that locker room and said, $100 to the man who can take out Travis Hunter. And they said it in like that old timey voice, just like that too.
Number two.
Right, I like to see this. I didn't enjoy what I watched with the Chargers. Again, the same formula, having a lead, can't close it out, can't get first downs, running the ball way too much late in the game, and Like, I see what's happening here, right? A lot of it is a carbon copy of what happened last year. The funny thing is, they got a new OC, and he's calling the same game that you got last year from freaking Lombardi. It's the same freaking thing, and the defense can't get off the field, right? Mm-hmm. So someone goes back to the, well, this must be a hangover from Jacksonville. Staley ain't having it.
I'm not worried about the Jacksonville loss. The Jacksonville loss hasn't carried on to the season whatsoever. If you've seen our training camp or you've seen the way we played in the first two games, it hasn't had an impact on our team whatsoever. Our team is connected. Our team has played its heart out in two games, and we've lost two tough games. But it has nothing to do with the Jacksonville game. And if you ask anyone in our locker room, it has nothing to do with the Jacksonville game. And that's just the truth. It's a convenient storyline for you and for everybody else, but it's not the truth. We've lost two tough games, but the guys in that locker room, the men in that locker room, they are finishers and they have what it takes, and we're excited to prove ourselves. Yeah, we just lost a game in overtime, Jeff, so how do you think the mood is? How do you think the mood is? How do you think it is? It's tough. It's a tough group in there. There's a lot of pride in that room, okay? And we put a lot into this, and we got a good football team. And so we've lost two tough games. We've got to bounce back, learn from our mistakes, and be ready for Minnesota.
Can I say, I don't know why, but in those moments, I love when guys use the name of the person they're talking to. Yeah. What do you think, Jeff? What do you think, huh?
I'm a defender of the media, but I'm not mad at the guy for asking a question about the mood, but I love what I heard there from Staley.
Yeah.
But by the way, his mad rant is still very composed. But, like, yes, it's time to get angry. And I'll tell you, in that game, you know, I was talking about Hackett earlier for the Jets. Not running enough. In the case of the Chargers, I thought this was going to be more aggressive than it was. Mm-hmm. They're running on third and fives left and right. Like, you got good yardage early in the game. You're starting running backs out. All right? Throw the ball! Did you see how easily they went down the field?
Of course.
In the fourth quarter?
Yep.
And then trying to close out a game, they run. Like, you know what the hangover's from? You know what hangover they have? Is a lack of a set now from Brandon Staley. Because he heard so many G-damn times in his first year, that's not what you do. This guy's dishonoring the game. Yep. With all this aggression on fourth down. He's lost his aggression. He lost it last year, and he's losing it again this year. You've got a guy who can wing it all around the ballpark. You've got great receivers. You know, Everett had a really good game yesterday. Stop giving it to the backup running back on third and long. Go for the win.
Well, and it's what I don't get is the inconsistency, to your point, because I think, like, Staley got so gun-shy the first year he got wrecked. You know, you mentioned they went to the Raiders game, right, that Sunday night, and everybody's freaking out about that result. And you go in this game alone, because I was rewatching it this morning, and I'm looking back. They have a fourth and two on one of their early drives on the Tennessee 27. They go for it. They convert it. That drive ultimately ends up at a field goal. The next drive, they've got a fourth and one at the Tennessee 44, and they're like, punt it. We're fine. Like, no. You can go. Get aggressive. Like, this is what you're supposed to do. Like, if you're in plus territory and you have less than a yard to go get it. And I don't understand the inconsistencies that have suddenly evolved from the fact that he's now this gun-shy game decision dude.
And I don't. I mean, Staley's got to start winning some games. Like you said, hey, it might be over. I have not been impressed by Kellen Moore and the play calling.
And I do wonder, because I will be fair, to your point about aggression, Justin Herbert at some point does have to have a part of this, right?
We'll hit that on the way back, because we got to get to the Raiders. No, that is part of it now, because there's some lack of execution here by the, you know, he's going to be an all-time great. You got to start delivering, bro. Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Chargers anymore. I'm done. They just got to get it together. Be more aggressive throughout the game on third down. Start going for more fourth downs. Coach like you did a couple of years ago to Staley, and also tell Kellen Moore, cut the crap. Mm-hmm. Right? If Eckler's not there, not effective, then Josh Kelly ain't the guy down the stretch. He's not going to get third and fives. Throw the friggin' ball.
You don't want to name one more person?
Herbert.
Yeah.
Herbert's got to play better. He does.
I do wonder how much.
And I'm still trying to figure out, and we'll have to get a Charger expert on. I'm still trying to figure out. They've had a bunch of jailbreaks, you know, rushing down Herbert on big plays, the defense coming at him. Is that a Herbert lack of recognition in terms of setting up protection, or is it a bad play call? Mm-hmm. Right? Because it could be one or the other. Could also be excellent job by the defense, but you get my point?
I mean, he only, I think you were, because you were looking through some of the numbers and I think trying to find the actual ones.
he was very average. 70.8 for a PFF passing grade is like pretty average. So it wasn't the best game played. And as we have kind of discussed, and average depth of target is not the end-all be-all, but it does give an idea of like how aggressive you're going to be as a downfield passer. And for him in his career to have, you know, consistently second, third lowest average depth of target, given his physical skill set, you'd want to see a little bit more. He was a little bit more aggressive this last game. Average at the target was 11.1 yards downfield. His adjusted completion percentage was 73.7. So it's not all his fault. I just wonder, we always focus on all these other things.
He's very protected.
Yeah.
I don't mean on the field. He's very protected by the fans. It's always someone else's fault.
And I wonder what.
And this is two games in a row where they had a chance to close out a game or go down the field and get something done, and he didn't get it done.
Yep.
And that, sorry. Like, there can be a lot of reasons behind that, but when you are one of those guys on the upper strata and you are due to make $45 or $50 million a year, you're paid for those moments. Mm-hmm. The other team should fear giving you the ball back. And right now, I don't feel like Herbert. And they put up the graphic, you know, 12 game-winning drives. I don't know that he's feared like some of the best players in the game.
Yeah.
And some of those guys just left the game. You know, Rodgers, not in his own doing or through his own doing, but, you know, Tom Brady as well.
Yeah. I don't think he's necessarily feared in that regard, no. I don't think he's viewed like that. He doesn't have as many game-winning drives as Derek Carr.
Which was always a weird stat in the past.
Of course, it doesn't really mean anything, actually.
I told you during the break, I'm like, why am I waiting? What was I referencing?
You going to finally pop the question?
No.
Oh.
No, why am I waiting to bet the Steelers?
Yeah.
I'm like, get it over with.
The Raiders.
It's a pick right now. Steelers next week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they play tonight, so I think everyone's going to hesitate in terms of – not everyone. Some people will hesitate in terms of action.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think is going to happen tonight? Steelers-Browns.
I think they're going to win.
You think Steelers?
Because I think a lot of
win?
People are very down on the Steelers. Yeah, I think they're going
to
win.
So then you're going to bet them now. Because if they win, it'll go to – it won't go like a lot, but it'll be like 1.5.
Yeah. But the other thing is, I wonder where the market is right now in terms of supporting the Raiders based on their expectations and based on what they just saw against the Bills.
The Vegas market or betting market?
The Vegas fan market, because this is another one of those games, and there's a bunch of them this year, like a lot of them this year, where it's probably going to be 60-40 Raiders at best. And as the season, if the season goes the wrong way, and I'm talking 60-40 the crowd.
Yeah.
Steeler fan, there's a lot of Steeler fans.
Well,
and I bet you they're traveling. And there's a lot here. You know? Mm-hmm. There's a whole group of teams, and probably at the bottom are the Dolphins. But there's a whole group of teams of the 80s and early 90s where people my age, and I say it as a dig, but I'm truly jealous because I didn't do it. But there's a whole group of fans around the country who looked at their local team in the NFL and they were like, they suck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing this. I'm a quitter. I don't have the gumption to be like Cofield and be miserable for 40 years. I'm picking a winning team.
Or like John, who loves the Clippers.
Well, you... Okay.
What do you mean?
But 80s and 90s teams.
That counts.
Dolphins, Niners... to a certain extent, the Bears, but the Chicago is just and Green Bay are just great fan bases. But Dallas and the Steelers, there's tons of Steelers fans from the 70s and 80s. They're diehard,
mm-hmm.
and when they have a chance to travel to a place like this, they're going to come. And there's a ton here.
First time at Allegiant too. Past 2 years, they've been in Pittsburgh. First time
at
Allegiant.
Boy.
Might be 50-50.
Yeah, somebody I can't remember who I was talking to the other day, but they were talking about wanting to go to a Raiders game, and they were complaining about the price, and I'm like, you realize like this is an event. It's not like a football game.
Yeah.
People are coming in to come to Las Vegas to check out the stadium, to watch a football game. Like, this is gonna be very, very expensive.
All right. So I got some pizza money down on a pick 'em.
I'll bet you straight up right now.
Ooh. Dang.
You're taking the Raiders?
Yeah.
Why don't we just bet a pizza?
You got it.
No, what are we talking, like personal pan pizza?
No.
Triple P?
You remember Court?
Remember Court?
You know where Court's favorite pizza was, right?
No.
Because it was convenient, too.
Oh, was it 7-Eleven?
Yep.
So that's right. He used to go, yeah, Court.
I love 7-Eleven pizza.
What if I get you?
You do?
You
do? Is it really good? Is it really good?
Yes.
I might have to try this now. You're like the fourth person who's actually. I do remember Court's
you,
love for 7-Eleven pizza.
Because here's my favorite part. I guess it's gotten so popular that you can take and bake 7-Eleven pizza. There's like a crap ton in the corner usually in the freezer.
I mean, I've been into 7-Eleven a lot where people are just like, no, I'll wait for the pizza. I'm like, really? Wait.
Me.
All right. Now listen to this. I'll get you five 7-Eleven pizzas.
Dang.
Which is an equivalent. You have to take and bake, though.
Okay.
Is that all right?
Sure.
I'll get you five, which I think is equivalent to $40. Will you bet $40 on the Raiders? Or will you get me something of equal value? Like maybe,
like
maybe
7-Eleven pizza.
Yeah, I don't want
the 7-Eleven pizza.
Well, you know I'm a starving artist and I need it, okay.
I mean, is it 2 for $350? So $350 doesn't really go evenly in a 40, but roughly say it's 12. Maybe
go taquitos?
I might do the taquitos. So I get 12.
I don't know why we're doing this, because you could just easily send each other $40.
No,
we'll bring it in the studio.
This means more. We're going to get that oven to work.
But the taquitos,
he's
going to
make one of
like,
the pizzas here.
DeMond's going to get kicked out of his favorite 7-Eleven because he's going to walk up and go, I need $40 worth of go-go taquitos, and they're going to be like, get out.
You grab them yourself. They changed the system.
They don't have that many on the roller. Yeah, I was going to say, it's not $40 worth of go-go taquitos on the roller.
Yeah, there are.
No, they're not.
I told you it's 12 taquitos.
Oh, you said it's 12? If you get one of each flavor?
Right, but you're going to have to go right when they like put them on.
How about just give me the money and I'll do it?
That's what I just said. And you guys shut me down.
Well, you said he had to get them.
Dude.
I will get the item no matter what.
Yes.
There's no shame in my game. I'll go on a 7-Eleven, grab as many freaking rollers as I want.
I might
grab some hot dogs.
I was going to suggest.
I want 12 of anything on that rollers.
I was going to suggest 10 a.m. p.m. chicken sandwiches. Also a Steve favorite.
That is a favorite. That actually, I could keep those for like 6 weeks
in my car
and use them on the road for UNLV trips.
You know, sneaky good.
6 weeks is a little long.
I've only had like twice.
Yeah.
I'll give them a shout out. Those Maverick steak and like potato burritos with some egg.
I haven't had it. I saw it advertised.
Fantastic.
I went there for gas the other day before the UNLV game.
Fantastic.
I don't mean to shout out, I love all the convenience stores in this market if you want to sponsor the show, but Maverick's, it's pretty solid.
Oh, yeah.
You
want to know what the best is? So they have self-checkout and nobody knows how to use it. So like the other day when I went to
go. Oh, they do, you're right.
So when I went to go in,
that's right.
There's like two lines that are like five people deep. Yep. They're all waiting to get checked out. And I'm like, there's the two self-checkouts are wide open. All right. So I just got to walk up, check out.
I saw those in Logan.
And you get all, people give you dirty looks like, sorry,
hey,
you guys are all morons. You don't know what you're doing.
Do I get real dark here for a second? Can I?
I flipped the bird dog.
Maverick, I didn't know that it was.
No, it's something else. It's there was a Friday like, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks back. And for some reason I was just. Don't mock, okay, because this could send me even deeper. For some reason, after a Friday show, I was annoyed, right?
So just another
every
day.
Show. I always like to – I want to walk out of the Friday show and feel good because, like, the weekend's coming up, right? And I was like – I don't know what happened. I was just down. I didn't like how I did on the show. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go and get two tall boys beer, but the like, micheladas. Oh. And there's a certain brand I like, but – the beer company that Kid Rock likes to shoot up, they're going all Modelo Cheladas instead of another company they own.
That'll make
I can't find it anywhere.
That'll make Kid Rock even madder.
So then I went, that is Cheladas. So then I hit three different convenience stores of all different types, and none of them had the Chelada I wanted. But then I started looking around, and I was like, this place is a friggin' pigsty. And I got really mad that I couldn't find the beer, and the convenience stores were really dirty. And I was like, I don't know why I live here.
Like on the earth? Or
no, in Vegas. I was just like, I've had enough of this place. And I never think that. But it was because the convenience stores were pigsties.
Oh.
Should I have? And that was my point. Going back to another place you mentioned, you walk into those sometimes, and you're like, oh, it smells good in here.
Oh,
my shoes aren't sticking to the floor? This is great!
This is a...
Sorry, man. I don't know why. I am a dirtbag, and I have a lot of tolerance for filth. But I was just in a mood that day, and I'm like,
sticky floors are the worst.
Sticky floors are the worst,
especially when you can feel your foot like you feel the resistance as you're pulling your foot
it
up.
It annoys me so much.
I don't like.
And
it
I don't
at
even
all.
Have good sneakers. Can you imagine if you're a sneakerhead and you have good sneakers and you protect your sneakers and then you go in and it's like. Suction sound.
You duck walk in, and you're like, "What is going on? Why are my feet are sticking to this?"
All right, I admit that was too much. I was delaying because I know DeMond's going to get annihilated on this.
Okay, really quick.
Maybe not though. We'll save it for 35.
Home opener, baby.
Can I really?
No, not the bet. The bet's in. No, it's something else. Another topic. It's another bet.
I just want to say that the most genius move ever in business was to put a certain cinnamon roll place in those gas stations because it makes it smell heavenly every time.
You need that. Need that a lot.
Well, I thought the show was over. No. I didn't know what time it was.
You know what I'm going to do? That LPR stuff that we had down at the plaza.
Okay.
The liquid panty, you know what?
Remover, right? Yeah.
I think I'm just going to bring that with me into the store.
Ooh, UNLV News.
Sniff it up a little bit, right? Spray it up a little bit. All right. It looks like a losing bet. No, maybe not. There might be a bright side to Jordan Love versus Justin Fields. Another update.
Obviously, we had too many penalties. I can't even speak about it. It's so ridiculous. And it's a real shame because a lot of those penalties took away a lot of great efforts from our kids. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Never seen such a lopsided game penalty-wise.
It's Cofield and Company, live on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
JBT's here. It's Cofield. Saints. Panthers.
Score update?
We're about 20 minutes in from a time standpoint. Yeah, score update.
3-0 Carolina up on top. Right now we are reviewing a play. Looks like it is a catch, but ball was caught on the fingertips, maybe hit the ground. That is a review at this point right now. Derek Carr would have thrown the ball better. Probably not under review.
That was Jay Norvell on the way back. I wonder how CSU fans feel, if they're mad at him or they can be a little bit happy that it was a very competitive game, but you want to win in the end. I'm going to get to, in addition to close out the show, with a pick on the second Monday Night Football game and look ahead lines. What is it, week 4 in college football, week 3 in the NFL. What's the update on Fields versus Jordan Love? our guy DeMond picked Justin Fields. I was on Fields' side as well. You took Jordan Love. Fields' numbers were dreadful. 2 interceptions, didn't really run for anything, fumbled twice. So you must have a big lead now. Because the first week, PFF rating, and that's what it goes by, was pretty even. But, DeMond, don't hide behind the screens. There may be a silver lining.
61.1. Oof, rough for Jordan Love.
He stinks.
Yeah, but Fields ain't
far behind. Calm down. 56.3.
Yeah, you're in it. You're in it.
I mean,
all Fields has to do is like get slightly above average.
No, because here's the problem for DeMond. It's only 2 games.
Yeah.
And the reason why Fields is not that far behind is he's being carried right now by his rushing grade from week 1, which is an 82.
Right.
So,
but
he can replicate that performance again.
He will be able to run consistently this year.
But will he? You know how many designed runs Justin Fields has right now? 3 in 2 games. They're not running him. So, if his play as a passer continues to decline, which is not good, sub 50 grades in both games, and his rushing grade continues to decline because it was actually not very good against Tampa Bay, DeMond screwed because at the very least, Jordan Love has been consistent in terms of being below average. Like, he has put up essentially identical grades in each of the first 2 games. He is who he is. Justin Fields. And here's the other thing.
We got something to root for. By the way, put that, pizza versus taquito bet on your spreadsheet.
What if he gets benched?
They gave up the number 1 pick. They're not benching him.
You're sure about that? He looks awful. He's missing wide open guys. He's not reading the field properly. He gets clean pockets, holds on to the ball for about 4 seconds, and then runs into pressure. So they had a great stat. If you look at it, I'll have to get the exact number. His PFF grade on the scripted plays, like the first 10, it's like a near 80. And then the rest of the game, it's sub 50. He's got no idea what to do once you go off script. Just because you spent something on him doesn't mean you won't bench him, especially if you think that this team can do something.
Should we play a pick-me-up? Do you have the interception?
No.
He did it on purpose. He didn't grab it on purpose. It was a pick 6.
Got Joe Klatt for you.
You mean the...
no, I don't want Joe Klatt.
Can I even say for you?
The incredible... Was it Shaq Barrett who snagged it with the one hand and returned it in 1 yard for a touchdown?
Good for him.
Oh, you know what? Actually, the Vast Sound crew grabbed the pick 6 and didn't send it to you. That was a problem. Actually, I correct that. It was sent to you. So,
wow.
We'll have to fix that. We're as bad as Justin Fields with the communication.
I mean, seriously, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not good.
He's got to get that chemistry down with DJ Moore a little bit going. You know, a couple more games under their belts.
But
let's also be realistic. Justin Fields is their future for now. They're going to do what? Turn the team over to? Who's the backup? Exactly.
I don't even know.
Nathan Peterman? At that point, then it is a clear tank attempt, and you're trying to get Caleb Williams.
Right, because here's the thing, though. At some point, because there's two things. You can say tanking, whatever. I would argue that maybe tanking is starting Justin Fields the rest of the season if he's going to continue to play like this. But there are people who have a belief in that office and in that league, or excuse me, in that team, that they are better, and they think Peterman gives them a chance to win games.
Oh.
It's Cofield and Company, live on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
All right, lots of football to close out with. We'll look ahead at the betting numbers here down the stretch. You got that Matt Campbell sound? Boy, we're missing out a lot today, I think. I do want to bring up Matt Campbell for a second because I love the way this story is unfolding with Iowa State. Because he's the guy, when he was on top of the world, was bragging about how Texas had five-star athletes, we've got five-star character. And then it turns out that multiple players are betting illegally on his roster.
They also stink.
They're not good. And that's the other thing.
That was one of the winners on Saturday. Ohio money line, baby.
Yeah, what the true statement should have been is you have a five-star like quarterback in Brock Purdy, who was a three-star, and a quarterback can cover a lot of things. He had some other good players on the roster.
Remember when he was the
obviously
next
Breece Hall and Will McDonald, and
but remember when he was like the next NFL candidate?
He got a 10-year offer from the Lions and turned it down.
I don't know how you look back on that. Holy smokes,
he's an arrogant guy. And so some fan is shouting at him the other day after they lose to Ohio, right? 10-7, and just busting his chops.
Come on, Campbell, get after him!
Hey, Campbell, what are you doing? You're on the hot seat. You're on the hot seat.
So anyway, so you hear that, go ahead, Campbell, get after him, and then someone else is like, you're on the hot seat. He turns around and starts charging at the fans. He was like way up a hill.
Really?
I'm like, bruh.
I didn't see this.
And you know what? I do want to double check.
The bleep was on his end, too.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
I want to double check if it was Campbell or one of his assistants. So I don't want to put that on him. But one of the coaches turned around like they were going to go beat up a fan. Like, they have a right to be screaming at you. It's not going well right now. And if they want to go, it's football this, football that. It's not even that. What about the character and this betting stuff? It's torn the team apart. You're not good. They weren't great last year.
It was Campbell. Or at least a lot of people are corroborating Campbell. So.
Yeah. So there you go.
I would have taken the 10 years, by the way.
Yes.
I would have sold out.
Like $80 million.
Sold out in 2 seconds.
Did you look that up? What was the offer?
Let me look.
Yeah, Campbell and the Lions. So anyway, Nick Saban has had an interesting start to the season. I heard one of the games yesterday when they put up the rankings 2 days ago. No, it was an NFL promo for the college football weekend.
8 years, 68.5.
Wow. 8 year deal. For over $8 million a year, and he turned it down.
That's so quick.
Right? Oh, it's the Lions. You're Iowa State.
Right.
Like, let's not get too big for your britches there. But it was a promo for Alabama Ole Miss, and one of the announcers was like, whoa, not used to seeing that. Alabama 13. In terms of the rankings, are they?
Are they 13th best team? I'd say
with this quarterback situation?
Well, there shouldn't be a quarterback situation. So this is my theory.
Should they go back to the original starter, Milroe or Milroe?
That was ridiculous.
We're mocking on someone busting John's chops about how to pronounce the kid's last name.
I'm 95% sure here. Jalen Milroe was suspended on Saturday.
Yeah.
There's no
that he didn't play at all.
He didn't play a single snap. Yeah. If he had gotten in the game, exactly.
And they were that bad.
Exactly. There is no way you watch the first two games of Moreau, and he wasn't good against Texas. The two interceptions he threw against Texas were abysmal. You can't make those reads. There's white jerseys standing in front of your guy, and he threw it. Terrible reads. However, the play in those two games does not go – you don't go from start both games, start and play the entirety of the Texas game, to not getting in for one snap in a game in which you are tied 3-3 with South Florida going into the fourth quarter. There's no way. I am. Nobody will ever talk. I will be on my deathbed, and my son will ask me what my final words are.
That's serious.
And I will tell him Jalen Milroe was suspended against South Florida, and then I'll die. That's exactly what I'm going to say.
That's the one big thing you're going to throw out there? What a life! What a life you've lived to that point.
It makes no sense. None. How you watch those two guys play, and he doesn't get in that game at all on Saturday. So he comes out today. By the way, there was an update. Saban comes out and he goes, Jalen Morrell's shown us to these first few games, including his leadership on Saturday, that he's going to be our guy. Like, yeah, no bleep, Nick. I don't know what you were thinking in that game. It made no sense. So if I think that Saban's kind of a smart guy, which I do, he's got a pretty decent track record of success, Jalen Morrell was suspended on Saturday. There's no question about it.
Maybe we'll find out. Colorado is plus 21 against Oregon.
Lay it.
Are they going?
Wood? I'm laying it.
Are they going to use do you remember the quote from the Oregon coach, Dan Lanning, about Colorado leaving the conference?
Of course they are.
Are they going to use that where he's like, I don't remember Colorado doing anything for this conference in football.
Right. Which they never did.
It was factual. But I would use it. I love it. I hope ESPN leads the bus on this whole thing. I hope Mark Jones, who insists on calling him Coach Prime instead of Coach Sanders and acts like he's going to get fired if he says Coach Sanders, I hope he's at the front of the line pushing that thing.
Of course they will. I don't know why it bugs me. So after Jay Norvell makes the comments about the sunglasses and all the nerds in Fort Collins start clapping for him, All of a sudden people are like reposting the Dan Lanning clip and being like, why do these coaches keep doing this to Prime? And I'm like, he said it in July.
To Prime.
Yes. Like, he said it in July. And it has nothing to do with Deion Sanders. It has everything to do with Colorado being an arrogant program and thinking that they are bigger than what they really are. Like, I don't know why this has to do with anything Deion Sanders related, but it does.
What are you going to do with the game?
I'm going to see. I mean, I've weigh it. Under 21? I'm in. Do you think
I was
Oregon.
I waiting for DeMond to blurt out. I'll take that.
Do you think Oregon is
nope,
the same?
He's shaking his head. Nope, nope.
Do you think Oregon's the same team as TCU?
I don't know.
Just because TCU was laying the same number.
Yeah.
I think
Oregon's that was a miscalculation better. At the beginning of the season. Yeah. And. But I do believe if my computer will stop playing this autoplay.
Sounds like you. Take me to church.
Yeah. They're not the same team, and I think this number probably is a little bit short. And I wonder if Oregon will be motivated. God, they both left the conference, so it's not like the only teams that could be motivated by the chaos of the Pac-12 would be the Pac-2. Like, we're going to stick it to you. We're going to run up the score because you left us.
Yeah.
Maybe Oregon State will do that.
Colorado State had nearly 500 yards of total offense.
And they're not a good offensive team.
Right.
That was the backup quarterback who turns out is better than Clay Millen, but he's not great. And then, my God, did Horton have 28 catches in the game?
Yeah, right.
I don't like it.
It's like, someone cover him.
Yep.
Well, Travis Hunter was out. Well, that's the point.
And that's the point about this one. You're going to have – because that's the tough part about losing a guy like Hunter, which is you're losing a starting corner and a starting wide receiver with one player. And a good one at both positions, and many would argue a more elite corner than he is wide receiver. So you're losing that guy to take on that offense. I mean, it could be a Washington Michigan State thing. For people who don't know, Washington went into East Lansing this weekend and dropped 41 points and 700 yards on
719.
Yes,
when I looked at it, I was like, holy crap.
You could do the same thing if Oregon's going to do that against Colorado's defense.
That was sort of what I was suggesting, that getting off the deck after your coach has done that and now they have to freaking play without him, that they were – I didn't know if they were going to be fired up. One more college game. I saw you with a VSiN video. You're really talking trash on Notre Dame. You better back that up with a bet.
I mean, I don't think I was talking trash. So
Ohio State 3.5 against Notre Dame.
Yeah, so I'm going to lay it with Ohio State. My only thing is I just want to see what the market does because it's not going to get up to like 4. If it's going to head in one direction, it's going to be toward Notre Dame. But my whole premise here, so you have like the look ahead lines. You know, in the offseason, Ohio State was a 7.5-point favorite here. So now we're down to 3.5, and I keep hearing about Sam Hartman in this offense. Okay. Congratulations on beating up Navy, Tennessee State, and NC State. You've played nobody. To warrant a difference in the power ratings of these two teams by 4 points, whatever direction it's going to be, to get from 7.5 to 3.5. That 7.5 was out there 3 weeks ago. And now we're looking at 3.5. I'll take my chances. I'll lay it. I think Kyle McCord is getting more comfortable in that offense.
Thursday night football coming up this week. Niners, 10.5 against the Giants.
I don't know why this number is that high. Give me the Giants.
Ooh. Well, look at DeMond shocked.
DeMond shocked. DeMond, you made the same face when I took 7 with Arizona week 1 against Washington. How did that work? Yeah, that was different.
We hadn't seen anything.
What have you seen from Brock Purdy? He's missing wide open guys left and right.
I think that the call was made for the Giants yesterday.
What call?
That the Cardinals said, hey, guys, we can't be out here winning games.
Stop. You're going to do this whole thing like Sean McVay as well, knew the point spread?
Yeah, Sean McVay knew the point spread. And the Cardinals said, hey, guys, what are we doing?
I think this 49ers team is a little overvalued by the betting market.
Dolphins 7 next week against the Broncos.
Where's it at?
Miami.
Give me Denver.
Really?
Yep.
What? If it was at Denver, you wouldn't have taken it?
No.
What?
No, I'm just wondering. Look, here's the thing. The defense thing does, like you mentioned, I think, what, last hour?
Yeah.
Sam Howell going up and down the field on you. Not really great. I also don't think Miami's defense is very good. Stay inside of a 7, that's perfectly plausible, as is Denver winning the game.
But the power rating for the Seahawks at books must not be high.
I mean, it's all over the place.
Seahawks are 5 against the Panthers at home.
Yeah. I also think, like, we don't know that much about the Panthers. We're going to learn a little bit more here today. They're not a bad defensive team. It's just whether or not this offense is going to hold up. So this is a good litmus test here. If they go out and lose this game by like 10-ish points, then that's probably going to get to that 6, 6.5, 7 mark.
You want to take the Bears plus 13 at the Chiefs?
You love Justin Fields.
He turns it around against his defense that actually has been good.
No, I'm gonna. You know, I believe in my boy.
But not enough.
Yeah, not enough. You know, because I have to stand by my words. So
they're going to smoke him.
Okay.
The Bears stink. They're the worst team in football.
Worst team in football.
Yeah.
Who's literally worse? Well, I thought the Cardinals were, but they freaking
right.
The Cardinals fans got the dream result. Like, everyone played pretty well. They folded. They were close, but they lost. That's the ultimate goal.
They've been competitive in 2 games. The Bears' offense looked awful in 2 games. And by the way, is it really that much of a stretch to say the worst team in football last year is the worst team in football this year? I think we kind of forget how bad the Bears were last year. They sucked. They had 3 wins. They were the worst team in the NFL.
What's going on with John Von Model?
Ooh, good week again. So, first week.
John came up with this model. I kind of poked fun at him.
You did.
He explained what it was. He's putting a lot of numbers in, adjusting it every week because you love modeling now.
I do. That's what I do. First week, 12-4 in every game and 4-1 in the best bets. This week, it's 8-6 heading into Monday night for the entirety of the game. 3-1, though, for the best bets on the contest card with the Steelers pending. So, off to a good start. It'll fall off at some point, but off to a good start.
Second game tonight at Monday Night Football. What are we doing?
I mean, I kind of agree with JVM. 2.5 with Pittsburgh. I just don't know why you would move off of Pittsburgh. Originally was the 1-point favorite before the results of week one. I don't know why a rain game and a victory for Cleveland in that one and a loss to what some believe the best team in the NFL, the 49ers. I don't know why you would adjust that 3.5 points.
You said JVM. I had no idea what you were talking about.
John Von Model.
God, John Von Model's official. It's Browns -2, by the way. So even better.
What do you mean?
Well, who are you taking?
Taking the Steelers.
Oh, you are? Okay. Well, yeah, that's worse than 2.5. All right. We got to get this in the final minute. Colorado thing got so crazy. First of all, the sidelines. I've never seen sidelines like that, and I always think like a sideline reporter now, I would have been throwing fists. There was no room. They were all over the field. There were so many celebrities there. Second part is McAfee getting The Rock to be on ESPN for the pregame was amazing. And then The Rock at WWE, I'm like, I don't know what I'm watching right now. McAfee's doing an appearance with him. I like The Rock. But the first thing I thought of was post-football Rock at whatever, like 25, kind of soft, big.
Kind of
he soft. Is, but I mean, he like now, this is a medical marvel.
All natural, baby.
He's like 70 pounds bigger than he was when he wrestled.
What do you think he answers when they go up to him with the TikTok? You natty?
Dude, that was incredible. He's gigantic.
Hero.
And then on the mic, he was brilliant, as always. And then he dropped the people's elbow. Who was that poor bastard underneath him? He got it.
Austin Theory.
Well,
he did the Moana song, too.
He did. Yes. Oh, what a magical weekend. Thank you, Dion.